Hello and welcome to episode 36 of the Tech Reformation. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tank. And for Throwback Saturday, I have a fun story from a long time ago.
Oh boy.
Nice.
I went to get ice cream recently, and I asked at Brahms, and I asked for a scoop of cookies and cream. And then I said, oh, and in a waffle cone. And the friend I was with said, I really hope they don't give you a scoop of cookies and cream and next to it, a waffle cone,
separated.
Yeah. And that reminded me of a really fun, they didn't, but it reminded me of a really funny story that I experienced with Ben.
Yes.
Freshman or sophomore year? I'm not sure.
Yes. But I was hoping this is where you were going.
So we went to Sonic, and when I go to Sonic, I often would get an ice cream cone. This is a dollar, but I liked it in a cup because I felt like I got more ice cream, and I've never been a big fan of cones anyway. So I'd always ask for an ice cream cone, but in a cup. Well, today I went to the thing, and we were together with Ben, and I said, hey, can I get an ice cream cone in a cup? Well, the lady comes out and she brings her food, and I hand it off to Ben. I was driving, and then I grab mine, and I look down in it, and the lady, I could tell she has kind of like a snicker on her face, but I just pay and ignore it and grab it, look at the cup, and it is an ice cream cone upside down in the cup. She thought she would be clever and give me exactly what I asked for, and even turn it upside down for me, so... We rolled. We're dying laughing.
So. Yep.
That was a good time.
That was a good time.
So yeah, I thought of that. I was like, I should tell that story on the podcast.
That's a good one.
Nice.
I've never since asked for an ice cream cone in a cup. I've always clarified exactly what I mean.
And we're into Tech You Should Know this week, the part of the show where we bring you 7 tech news stories from throughout the past week that we feel are worth your consideration. Twitter shakes up its recommendation methods. If you are one of the few 112,000 followers of the account @MagicRex, you may have noticed over the past few months that you were no longer getting recommendations. This past week, Twitter made it official that @MagicRex is now defunct. The Twitter account was known for being a particularly useful bot that direct messaged you fantastic recommendations for who you might like to follow and was generally loved by all. But for those of you still wanting those recommendations, Twitter has added a Connect tab on its Android and iOS apps that Twitter hopes will reduce the barrier to entry for those new to the service. It's kind of funny how everyone is getting into bots now and Twitter just killed off like the one bot that it made that's super good.
That is super ironic.
Yeah. In the FBI corner this week, it seems the Supreme Court has suddenly given the Federal Bureau of Investigation the ability to hack just about any computer they want, even if they know the computer in question belongs to an innocent person. Under old rules, the FBI had to know the location of the computer in question, then get a warrant to use hacking tools on it. But the new rule allows the FBI to go after things like botnets, which can reside on any number of computers, and the FBI would be allowed to install malware in order to investigate cybercrime, even on computers who may only be victims of whatever crime has been committed. The concern here is that there is no rule that the FBI discloses to a judge exactly what it intends to do and what the ramifications may be, so that the judge may not fully understand what they're authorizing. YouTube makes a positive change in how it handles copyright dispute. Previously, when a video on YouTube was challenged in a copyright dispute, the owner lost complete control over monetization of ads on their videos to the party that filed the complaint. This was good for people who got their videos freebooted, but it ended up in creating an economy where random unknown parties would file copyright claims on random videos to earn all the ad money while the dispute was settled, completely screwing over legitimate creatives on YouTube. But now YouTube has created escrows for copyright disputes, suspending earning for both parties until the dispute has been settled, and then giving the money to the appropriate party. This is really good for YouTube creators.
Yeah.
They've been clamoring for this for years and years. There's still issues, I think, with the whole system, but this makes everything much better.
So would the party who did that, they would get the ad money permanently? Like, if they lost, they wouldn't have to give it back?
Right, in the old system.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it was... it was very one-sided, and the worst part is these disputes don't get settled like overnight. Like it takes weeks to get rights to your video back. So this is much better.
Yeah, glad they fixed it.
You may not have Fifth Amendment rights to your fingerprint.
What is the Fifth Amendment?
Did you hear that, Craig?
Yeah, I did. What is the Fifth Amendment?
The Fifth Amendment is the right to not incriminate yourself. So you don't have you don't have to confess that you did a crime to the police.
I don't anyway, because I'm not a U.S. citizen. But
right.
For you guys.
Exactly. This is an American thing. But so anyway, you may not know this, but the right to not incriminate yourself in America extends to your knowledge of your phone's passcode. If police want to search your phone for evidence, you do not have to tell them your passcode because of your Fifth Amendment rights. However, according to a federal ruling earlier this week in L.A., being compelled to touch your fingerprint sensor does not qualify as being compelled to speak something in your mind. From your mind. So if the police ever want to confiscate your phone, you may want to reboot it first.
Or just turn fingerprint sensing off all the time.
Well, yeah, if you're super paranoid, but that is really convenient.
Yeah, that's true.
Google Keyboard gets on the one-handed bandwagon. Android people got a significant update to their Google Keyboard this week, including one-handed mode, some design tweaks, and the ability to resize the keyboard to their own preference. You can now display borders around keys, choose a right or left-handed setting, and gestures for cursor selection. Bunch of new toys. And I am so jealous of my Android brethren for their keyboards.
Whoa, brethren?
I'm not.
I don't know if I would use
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's crossing a line.
It's okay. I love my Android brethren, even though they're wrong.
I have pity on my Apple brethren.
Yeah. But yeah, keyboards on iOS are just awful. Apple Music now has student discounts. Amid many rumors about a redesign of the streaming music service over the next month, Apple has launched a student discount program for Apple Music that gives students at eligible colleges a 50% discount, which brings it to $4.99 US a month. And that's not just in America. Students in Australia, Denmark, Germany, Ireland, New Zealand, and the UK will also see the 50% discount. So shout out to my Australian brother. Do you have Apple Music? Does anyone have Apple Music here? I forget. We talked about this at one point.
No.
I do.
Okay.
I've actually been thinking about canceling it, but I heard that they're going to do a huge revamp in iOS 10 this year.
Yeah, those rumors have been flying fast and furious.
Yep.
It'll be interesting
so
to
we'll see
what
that looks like.
Yeah, I hope they do a good job with it.
Hey, on a side note to the Apple Music one, I heard this week, tell me if have you guys heard the same thing? Apparently, like, I think it was Bruce Willis or someone wanted to be able to like bequeath their, I think that's the right word, their iTunes library to their offspring in their will.
That's weird.
But apparently it like they cancel it after you have died or something, so like you can't, it's not like, because you're only licensing the music, I guess, you're not actually owning it, maybe. I don't know. I thought you were owning it. I thought you were owning that song in your library, but you can't then transfer that to someone else when you die.
You can't probably transfer your purchases to a different account, but you could certainly back up your music and just give them to someone else.
Yeah, or you could give them your login details, I suppose.
Yeah, but you can't have two logins going at the same time, which makes that difficult. So
yeah, that's true. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
Just about in terms of digital ownership and stuff, like how, you know, how does that work and should it, I don't know, maybe this is a whole nother topic for another podcast, but... Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
Hulu will stream live TV to subscribers in 2017. Sounds like Hulu is getting into competing directly with cable providers with this news, with reports that Fox, ABC, ESPN, FX, and the Disney Channel are all in negotiations over creating a live TV streaming service on Hulu. There isn't any terribly specific news as of yet, but Hulu has definitely confirmed their intents to stream live sports, news, and events, vindicating years of rumors that this might happen. More details will undoubtedly be announced as the year progresses.
Do any of you think that you'll get Hulu because of that news, depending on what happens with it?
I'm a Netflix guy.
We have both.
I'm a Netflix guy, too.
Oh, you have both, Ben?
Yeah. Family subscription plan.
Nice. Wait, yep. How does that work?
Well, you get to use multiple screens and pay more.
Oh, right. Okay, I thought it was like a discount if you signed up with a bunch of people or something.
No.
Okay.
I think Netflix has it too.
Yeah, yeah, they would have, like, you can get more screens for more a month.
Yeah.
They're going to be bumping our subscription up here soon in May. I forgot about that. Oh, boy. That's all the tech you should know this week. If we left out something you think we should have considered, feel free to email us at ask@techreformation.com. For more tech you should know throughout the week, follow us on Twitter @techreformation.
Ben seems really cheesed about something, and I don't know what it is.
You want to know what it is?
Yeah.
Do you guys want to know what really throttles Derek's data?
Yeah. You know what really throttles my data? Is this service called SoundCloud. Now, SoundCloud is...
SoundCloud? What's that?
SoundCloud is... It's a cloud where you put your sound, Ben. That's...
Oh, it sounds so neat.
This is such a technological show.
We get into very technical
just
descriptions.
Just throw it on the cloud, guys. Just put it up on the cloud, okay? We can just probably beam that out to the cloud, right? Do you guys think we could get that down from the cloud?
Just have images of all these people who don't know much about technology going out and throwing things towards the sky. Just trying to put it in the cloud.
You don't have to worry about your data anymore, Derek, because you can back it up on the cloud.
Start throwing my computer and my phone and my hard drives.
A true story about someone who didn't understand the cloud. They thought that the Apple cloud was the cloud. Like, they've always heard it as the cloud. So there's only one cloud, and that is the Apple cloud.
And you had to get 5 gig or something.
Oh, man. There's only 5 gigs on the entire cloud. On the entire cloud, guys.
Everyone around Derek is gonna feel like they're just gonna be afraid that all of his devices are getting raptured or something.
Dispensational devices. Can that be the title of this episode?
I'm not sure. We'll think about that. But anyway,
I like the alliteration.
But anyway, SoundCloud this week was in the news because over last weekend, they had turned off all RSS feeds for all hosted podcasts for a while because they were under maintenance or something. And what really throttles my data isn't really about that, but it was a nice way to just jump into, you know, what bothers me about SoundCloud. SoundCloud is terrible for podcasting, just terrible. And the fact that there were so many podcasters screwed over by SoundCloud turning off RSS feeds just because I feel like they didn't get it up in enough time because they just didn't care enough.
Yeah. You've been complaining about their service for a long time, let alone these latest developments.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when we were on SoundCloud for like a week?
Yeah, right. Oh, good time.
Was it that long?
It was. Yeah. Well, we were on there for a couple weeks until we figured out that you had to get the maximum subscription, like the highest subscription in order to host all of your audio. It wasn't like a month. I figured it. So anyway, SoundCloud for podcasters is basically meant to only have your podcast on SoundCloud. It is really hard to get the URL files for posting to an RSS feed off of SoundCloud. They hide it away really tiny in a little corner somewhere. And the philosophy of SoundCloud is to have everything just through them and through no one else. It's like they they put that little feature like, oh, you can get your little MP3 over here in this corner over here. And go away, shut up. You know, you have what you need, even though it's incredibly inconvenient. Not to mention, they don't let you put links in show notes. It's just crap. So anyway, I'm not a fan of SoundCloud.
I don't mean to turn this into a tech you should use, but we are really big fans of Simplecast, which we recently switched over to. It is phenomenal. I mean, I really like their service and their product.
Mm-hmm. They really do. They let you upload unlimited amount of media for, it's like $12 a month or $120 for a year. And that's one of the best prices I've seen, and I haven't had any issues with their service like doing weird things that I don't like.
One of the troubling things about podcasts, I think, as someone who listens to a ton of podcasts and is always trying to get people to listen to good podcasts, is that the medium hasn't really grown up yet. So people ask silly questions like, do you listen to podcasts? Which would seem really ridiculous if we were talking about any other form of content consumption. Mm. Do you watch TV? Do you watch movies? Do you listen to music? Do you... You see what I mean? Like, you don't ask that.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of music do you listen to? Mm-hmm. Oh, what movies do you like? What TV shows are you watching? You know, you just don't... Like, do you watch The Flash? Yeah, I do. It's great. I love The Flash. Anyway, so people don't listen to podcasts yet in mass.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the great things about SoundCloud and Simplecast particularly is their embed player. So you can embed it out on the web and people can listen to it instead of having to try and figure out podcast catcher apps, which seems to be so confusing.
And we now know that we have had one person listen from Korea and two people from Bulgaria and two people from Norway, which we didn't have that kind of stats to that level of depth before, I don't think. So it's pretty cool. And thanks for listening, by the way. If you're in South Africa or Sweden or Switzerland or United Arab Emirates or one of the other countries that we didn't even realize was actually listening to our podcast, thanks for jumping on board.
Mm-hmm.
The Tech Reformation is international.
That's right. It's an international reformation.
Yes!
Yeah. Just like all good reformations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So part of the reason that I don't like how SoundCloud deals with podcasts is just because of a philosophy of what podcasting is. To me, podcasting is a very open medium that you should be able to, you know, put your content out on so that anyone can access it from wherever they want. That's just been my general philosophy with podcasting. And I just want to quick talk about, I don't know, should we talk about Google Play here or should I just let it go?
Yeah, I would.
Because that is a fundamental... I don't like the way Google Play is doing podcasting, but I also feel like that is a platform that is not accessed by podcasting in general, that I feel like we need to be on anyway. Well, at any rate, we're on Google Play now, so... Y'all can find us there.
Why do you not like Google Play?
Well, what it does is it takes your media and hosts it itself, and it does things to it. Like, I can't get stats from Google Play unless I go to their podcast portal. It's the same thing with Stitcher, except Stitcher is, you know, multi-platform. I'm not really concerned about Stitcher. But with Google Play being such a big, heavy hitter in the arena, that I feel like we should be on there to, you know... We don't have many Android listeners. Most of our iOS listeners are iOS, but like hands down, easily. So we just want to get into the Android arena a little bit more.
I need to become the podcast evangelist in the Android arena.
Yes, you do.
You should.
I'm our one representative of the Android market. So I need to do more work.
You're an ambassador.
Yep.
For Christ.
And for Tech Reformation.
That's what evangelist means.
Oh, yeah, I remember you being bothered by that. That's what throttles Ben's data.
Yeah, yep. It is. I actually tweeted about that the other day because I was trying to convince someone that they need to use LastPass or a personal password manager. And I was like, it was something, I deleted it, but it was something like, I've become a real evangelist for technology, .. and I hate it. And that was hoping you guys and the listeners would catch on. But then I thought, and no one, I just deleted it. So
that is what throttles my data this week. Our sponsor this week is missionalwear.com. They specialize in clothing you with the finest theologians' faces and outfitting you with all manner of things like pint glasses, coffee mugs, notepads, and posters that shout your love for Reformed theology. The first thing I noticed about Missional Wear when I first visited their website a long time ago is that they sold Christian shirts that I wanted to wear. These are not your typical rip off a popular brand with a Christianish saying while making the design similar to said popular brand shirts that are sold for $30 at the summer camp gift shop. These are high quality, well designed shirts for the guy or gal into theology. If you're a beard guy, get yourself a shirt with that one Spurgeon quote, or if you want to show your pride in the Reformation, a Five Solas shirt may suit you. Even if you don't want to buy anything, I highly recommend just going and looking at the different designs they have. But if you do decide to buy anything, be sure to tell them you heard about them here on the Tech Reformation when you check out. If any part of you is a theology nut, you need to go check out missionalwear.com. The designs are beautiful and the quality is solid. Wear your theology to the glory of God.
The pastor's sermon is over. The final song has been sung. The benediction has been delivered. Then life happens. My name is Jeremy Lundmark, and I am the host of After the Sermon, the podcast where theology and life collide. I interview average, uncredible guests as we discuss anything and everything that you're going to face in the world today after the sermon. Politics, theology, finance, church history, apologetics, work, school, movies, music, moral dilemmas, you name it, we tackle it, giving voice to the voiceless every single week after the sermon.
All right, well, it's time for our main topic this week. This week, we are talking about Priceline, CEOs, nefarious behavior, which gets people fired from companies. I don't really know. But basically, here's the news.
Wait. I was really confused by this story, so I just want to clarify for people in my position, which means outside of America. So it's a big position to be in, but... You know. Anyway, Priceline in America is different to what it is elsewhere, from what I understand, or at least in Australia. It's a pharmaceutical company that aims their marketing definitely at, I don't know, 18 to 40-year-old women, I would say. So, it's not that Priceline. It's a different Priceline. Continue, Ben.
Priceline in is an American company also that is basically just a website for you to find the, quote, the best deals on... flights, hotels, travel, things like that. And so it's sort of a price comparison tech company. It seems like they've gotten pretty big in recent years. But this week or last week, the Priceline Group CEO, Darren Huston, I believe is how you say his name, resigned from the company after an in-house investigation into a relationship he had with a fellow employee. And the company has said that his behavior does not line up with their values, and thus they let him go effective immediately. I wanted to also mention, as we dig into this story, that this particular article from USA Today, actually my wife sent it to me, and I think it's great for us to talk about here, because she was taken aback by how often this kind of thing happens, especially in bigger companies. A lot of these ones that are listed, the article lists a couple other companies that have had similar incidents with executives or CEOs involved in this kind of behavior, especially sexual immorality type stuff, and then losing their jobs because of it. And so just to name a few, Lockheed Martin's president back in 2012, the CEO of Hewlett-Packard in 2010, the Best Buy CEO in also in 2010, and that's just a couple of the ones that they listed in the article, have all had similar issues to what Priceline's gone through in the last few months or weeks. So let's dig in. What did you guys think about this article?
My first thought is that with power comes responsibility. So this person was obviously in position of leadership within the company, and anyone who's in that position has responsibilities to their employees to obviously direct the company well, but also to create a safe working environment. And a safe working environment is one where people don't have to worry about being hit on or whatever, inappropriate relationships and stuff like that. So it's obviously a failure on his part and a sinful one at that. In terms of how this thing comes about, maybe that's where, I don't know, some of the interesting discussion might be into, like, you know, what is it that sort of, in humans that wants, always wants something different to what they've already got or something better, or the grass is greener type syndrome. I don't know. There could be a whole bunch of things that contributed to this kind of fall. But yeah, pretty sad from the outset is my initial thoughts. To see someone who was in such a cool position, seemingly successful, seemingly things going well, and yet, yeah, decided that he needed to do something in addition, which then became the downfall of his career, essentially.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the way God created the world and the pervasiveness of the effects of the fall. That the fall doesn't just... The first sin of Adam and Eve doesn't just affect our relationship with God, although it absolutely does affect our relationship with God. Sin separates us from God, as we know and are taught in Sunday school well. It also breaks our relationship with other human beings. And so we begin to covet when we shouldn't, and we begin to lust after each other when we shouldn't. And just the way that we interact with each other, like you're talking about, is clearly broken and affected by the fall as well.
Yeah, I bet also it started with a lie, like, you know, to himself. I bet whenever he was going into it, he didn't think, this will cost me my job as CEO, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Probably not.
He probably thought, oh, this isn't a big deal, or maybe I'll never get caught or something. But yeah, I think another part of, like you said, the effects of the fall, and the fall started with a lie that was bought into. And I think it still happens on Craig's question of, like, what leads us down this road. I think a lot of the times we get led down that road whenever we lie to ourselves. We start by saying, oh, this isn't a big deal, or, oh, insert whatever lie to justify it here. And then by the time we realize that the lie was a lie, it's too late.
Yeah, I think that's true. There's a couple of different things. Like, there's a couple of cool parallels that we've already brought out from, like, the original sin, which is interesting. So one is sort of lying, the deceit that comes with openly moving forward with sin and kind of trying to justify it. The other one is I guess, even though Eve's sin was to say, you know, did God, you know, to follow along with Satan's line of, did God really say this? And she then went, oh yeah, well, maybe he didn't. She kind of questioned God's authority. She was also looking for something for herself and looking for something that she thought would make her life better. And so there's those two things, I guess, like the lying to ourselves, three things, maybe the shrugging of God's authority over our lives, and then the reaching for something that we think will be better.
I had no intention of going here with this particular topic, but you said something interesting that I've heard a lot, that a previous pastor elder of mine used to talk about a lot with me and was very passionate about. He used to say, you can't have sin before sin. You can't have sin before sin. And that is that Paul's interpretation of the fall in Romans 5 says that sin entered the world through one man, Adam, when he ate the fruit, when he disobeyed God his word and his law, which was you can have any tree in the garden, but this one. If you eat of this tree, you will surely die, right? I think people are tempted to say that Eve's sin was X before Adam bites the fruit. But Paul says sin enters the world through the event of Adam eating the fruit, right?
Hmm.
So it's tricky.
So you think what Eve did wasn't sin? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I'm saying that I don't think Paul thought that.
I think, okay. That's not how I've read Romans 5, but all right.
Well, it has implications for headship, right? Because we're not represented through Eve, we're represented through Adam, right? I mean, if it's anything other than that, then you have a problem with the first Adam, second Adam thing that he's doing in Romans 5 with Christ, right? Christ is the new Adam. He succeeds where Adam fell. He represents those who are in him, that we might be reconciled to God. Those who are in Adam, their only end is death, right? That's what's happening in Romans 5. But what you said really isn't even, I mean, you were not like intending to do that. What's weird is when I hear people say, they'll say stuff like, I've literally had this conversation with someone recently. Stuff like, how long do you think it took them to fall?
Uh-huh.
And then someone says, immediately, because they had a sin nature. Well, no, they didn't have a sin nature. They had a righteous nature.
Uh-huh.
You can't have sin before sin, right? So, you know, what causes someone to sin with a righteous nature, I don't know, but I know that deception was involved. Uh-huh. So they were caused to believe the lie, perhaps thinking that they were doing the right thing when they weren't. And we don't really get a whole lot of discussion about that other than they believe the lie, right?
Yeah.
But we do know they did not have sinful natures. Like, mankind is not defined by, it's not definitional to human beings to be sinners.
Right.
Because one day in heaven, we will not be, we won't sin. We can't, we won't be able to sin.
Right.
So I don't know. It just has massive implications for theology, and which has massive implications for how we live and talk and act.
So, can I just clarify something? Because, I mean, this isn't what we're supposed to be talking about, but it's interesting. And I think other people probably find it interesting, too, from a theology standpoint. I just want to say I affirm what Romans 5 says. I do believe in, like, the headship relationship and the idea that sin entered the world through one man. I understand that. I guess the question I have that I'm struggling through is, or not fully understanding the reasoning behind, is the definition of sin. So, as in, like, if you're somehow saying, or if the argument would somehow be that because the commandment was given to Adam, it wasn't sinful to eat the fruit until Adam was the one who did that. Is that the right line of arguing? Am I following accurately? So, when Eve ate it because she ate it before Adam, that wasn't sinful? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I think because I don't know what you're trying to say is well, because it's a headship thing. It was Eve was Adam's responsibility to some extent, and her
and the command is given to Adam. Craig's right about that for sure.
And her eating the fruit was a fault on the part of Adam. Even though Eve was also responsible.
Yeah, right? But when you say you can't have sin before sin, what do you mean by that? Because you're saying you can't have sin before sin, and then in the same sentence you're saying, and sin entered the world through Adam. So, does that mean what Eve did before Adam did something was not sin, is what I'm trying to work out? Or are you saying the sin that the initial sin was Adam's not shepherding his wife well, rather than the eating of the fruit?
Well, I think what you said is really important, and that is, what is sin? Like, obviously any conversation starts with defining terms. I would say sin is the breaking of God's law. Can we all affirm that definition?
Correct.
Cool. So what is God's law in Genesis 1? It's of
not
all
to eat
the trees
fruit.
In the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, of all the trees in the garden, you can have everything except this one. So if sin is the breaking of God's law, then eating that one, eating the fruit of that one, is a problem. And the lie is, you can't eat it, neither should you touch it. He didn't say that. He said, don't eat it.
Yep.
Right?
Okay.
The serpent says, he said, you can't eat it, nor should you touch it.
This is Genesis 3 you're talking about now, yeah?
Yep. Sure, yeah, sorry. And I guess the command's not even given in Genesis 1.
It's Genesis 2, the command.
Genesis 2?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
That's right.
My bad. Well, yeah, anyway.
It's all pretty close together in that part.
Yeah, and there's a lot of recapitulation happening.
Yes.
Yeah, so if sin is breaking God's law, and God's law in that moment is don't eat this fruit, then we must say that the first sin is the eating of the fruit.
Yeah. Yep.
And I would probably say that...
So how does that fit with Romans 5 is, I guess, the thing that we're trying to now come back and piece together? Because it sounded to me before like you were sort of saying it doesn't really fit if sin entered the world through Adam.
Yeah, I think we have to affirm it enters the world through Adam, because that's what Paul says. What we do with that, I guess, is kind of what you're asking about. Another interesting thing is that Ecclesiasticus, which is an apocryphal book, says that sin entered the world through the woman, which is in direct contrast to what Paul says, which is one of the reasons I don't believe the apocryphal scripture. So, you know, there's sort of two perspectives there. It enters through Eve or it enters through Adam, and it can't be both, right?
Right, right.
And I know you're not saying anything that contradicts Paul, Craig. I'm not accusing you of that at all. I'm just saying, you know, as we look at what the scripture says, we got to figure out what does it mean and how does it apply to us.
I totally agree with you. And I think this is something I'm wondering, and, you know, we're all lay people here. Ben's studying at seminary. The rest of us are not. But this is just something I'm thinking through. Maybe it is possible. I mean, we would all agree that by definition, what Eve did was to disobey a command that God had given that she knew about, because the serpent spoke to her and said, you know, this was a commandment, but are you sure that it meant this? So she knew it, she went against it, so therefore she disobeyed God's law, and therefore we would define it as sin. Romans 5 says that sin entered the world through Adam. I guess I have a question. There's two things I would wonder. When Paul's talking about that, does he mean that sin for the whole of mankind, like the ongoing, like the headship sin, like the pattern of sin entered the world through Adam because he was the head of the wife? Or could it be that, like I said before, potentially there was a sin before Eve's sin in eating the fruit, which was that Adam was not, you know, Adam didn't step in and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Adam wasn't sort of with her and able to shepherd her and take her away from temptation or whatever. So there is potentially a failure on his part there to be a good husband and to be the man that she needed in that situation, potentially to whatever, you know, to be there for her and strengthen her in a time of temptation. I don't know. Yeah. What do you guys think about that? Those two possibilities?
That's a great question. I've heard entire sermons preached on that part of Genesis 3 where Adam is quote-unquote passive and his wife is led astray into sin by the serpent, and it therefore it's his fault and he's a sinner, right? And we should learn from him by not being passive. And I think what I'm saying is we have a problem. If Adam's quote-unquote passivity is sin there, then that's what I'm saying. You have sin before sin happens. I don't think we have to. I don't think we have to divorce the two people eating of the fruit, because I think it's in one verse that says she ate and immediately he ate. You know, she gives it to Adam and immediately he eats as well. Right. So certainly that event is what, seconds away from each other. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. It doesn't say. I don't want to go too far off on a limb. But what I do want to say is the stuff that happens before that event, the eating of the fruit, can't be sin, because we just all agreed that sin is the breaking of God's law. The commandment is don't eat the fruit. They eat the fruit. Sin enters the world and breaks everything.
Two other possibilities. One is that they're one flesh. So Eve eating the fruit is Adam eating the fruit, and he represents the whole, so that's where it gets one man. So if that makes sense, like since they're one flesh, they're one person, one man is the head, she's the body. So there's that. And then another thought is, and this one's just out in the wild, it's just more of a fun one that I thought of. If Adam hadn't eaten the fruit after Eve, then I guess Eve could have taken the punishment and things could have continued on. God could have made another woman. I don't know. And so it wouldn't have completely flooded the world because there was still one man. I don't know. That one's just being silly. So
Where you? Maybe I missed it, but where is the sin before the there is no sin before sin thing that you were talking about, Ben?
Yeah, I was talking about the example of Adam being a passive husband or not leading his wife well, or
you know, and that's that, like that phrase. Where do you get that phrase? Or is that Bible or something that your pastor told you? Or
oh, I mean, I'm paraphrasing what I think is happening in Romans 5. Sure, it does not explicitly say you can't have sin before sin. I mean, that's sort of an Americanism anyway, but.
Also doesn't say that the fruit eating was necessarily the first sin.
But Ben's point was that is breaking the law. The law was don't eat the fruit, and so breaking the law is the fruit. So by definition, right. It has to be eating the fruit.
So we're ruling out the possibility that that Adam being passive is sinful.
I would, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. So where does that leave us again? So if we rule out Adam being passive.
It leaves us in a really uncomfortable position because people really like to point to Adam's passivity and encourage husbands to be good husbands who lead their wives well.
Yeah.
And obviously that's a good thing. Be a good husband, lead your wife well.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that passage is not talking about that.
Right.
I mean, that's, I don't know. It's you're not lying on God, but you are lying on that text.
I think what the problem with all this is, though, like, and I think it's a problem that I've never thought of before because of the way that I was reading Romans 5 and Genesis 3. And now I'm sort of trying to force myself to look at them through the lens of what you've been talking about, Ben. And it just seems to me, and I kind of get your, line of thinking that, you know, it was within a couple of seconds that Eve ate and then Adam ate. So you could count it as one act anyway. So maybe this whole thing is a moot point for that reason alone. But I don't know. I think we're dealing with multiple factors. We're dealing with, sin entered the world through Adam, through one man. And then that is, that is rectified through Christ. And so Adam needs to be there as the type, the Old Testament type. But then we're also dealing with the fact that, like it or not, Eve did break the commandment before Adam did in terms of the chronological order of events that is recorded by Moses. If he's the one that wrote Genesis, I think that's the consensus. I guess that's where we got to that question that Derek just raised about where does the sin before the sin question come from? And it's that dichotomy of, well, did Eve sin first or did Adam sin first? At the end of the day, does it really matter? Sin entered the world. Adam is the head that is used as, you know, in Romans 5 by Paul is the example of the pattern that we now need to be saved from, the sinful nature coming into the world. But it is an interesting thought that, sort of not being able to define Eve's disobedience as sin because it wasn't Adam, because of what Romans said in Paul, what Paul said in Romans 5, that sort of thread to me, I don't know, it feels like we're trying to sort of force something into the text that maybe isn't meant to be there, if that makes sense. Like Paul wrote this as like, I don't know, maybe this sounds really bad and I'm not trying to be heretical or anything, but I think Paul's focusing on the headship nature and saying, you know, this is Adam is the one who then makes that sin a consequence for the rest of those who come after
him. That's exactly what I was going to say.
In his family line. I'm so
glad you brought that out.
And so, to me, that doesn't deny the fact that Eve's thing could still be sin. But when Paul's saying that sin entered the world, he's saying sin enters the world for the world, as in for the rest of the world, for the rest of mankind that comes after that point. Sin is now present because Adam fell at that point when he followed his wife in her sin. So, do you know what I mean? So, I'm not reading so much into Romans 5 that I'm saying... I guess I'm not taking that, you know, sin into the world through Adam as 100% literal in terms of the fact that Eve's act wasn't sin, but I read it as sin for us as humans as an ongoing problem that we are now living under or living in a struggle with into the world because of the head of that relationship, which was Adam, because of his sin.
Yeah, let me say one thing and then I'm going to employ a strategy that Tank has convinced me is good whenever we have disagreement. So first, to clarify, you know, just because we disagree on some theological nuance doesn't mean we, you know, doesn't mean necessarily that it's not important. It just means we disagree. I think what we're talking about here is a nuanced issue. I'm well aware of that. That's fine. But I do think that it leads into other possible error, which I'm not accusing anyone here of, but I'm going to get to that in a second. And then, I don't know, I don't think that it's reading so much into the text. I think there's a lot going on with covenant here as well. Obviously, God has covenant with Adam in creation, and Adam is the mediator of that covenant, and that's what makes him federal head of the covenant, which we are all born into. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot going on in Roman, like, I'm not reading this in. Romans 5 is contrasting the first Adam and the second Adam. There are two covenants. You can either be in Adam or you can be in Christ. That's Paul's entire point.
Yeah,
And
I'm not
and that
saying that you
death
are.
Death spreads...
Making
right.
an error there.
Death's, cool, that's good. Death spreads through sin, and sin enters through Adam, right? And so if we... The only hope is to be in Christ.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is when it says sin enters through Adam, that's where we understand that phrase differently. Maybe, or I'm not even, like, I don't think this is a deal breaker issue, like you said, and I'm happy to, like, we can all disagree on it and have slightly different nuanced views on it. And it's something worth discussing because, you said, it does have other implications. I'm certainly not saying you're reading extra meaning into the text. What I'm saying is we just have slightly different understandings of that phrase, sin entered through Adam. You know, you're sort of arguing that sin entered through Adam, full stop. Sin entered through Adam is as in that was the first definition of sin, whereas I'm sort of saying that I can understand a reading of it that says that sin entered for mankind through Adam, sin entered the world through Adam, and the result of that is that we now live as part of a humankind under Adam as the head, as the initial head, before Christ came to redeem us from that sin nature. And that's Adam is the beginning of that consequence. But I also think there's amazing beauty in the fact that Eve, whether or not we call it sin, Eve took the fruit first, and yet it's through her that obviously, you know, women bear children and men don't, but it's through her that God then says, you know, I'm going to, it's your offspring. It's, you know, it's the seed of the woman that will crush the head of the serpent. So there's a kind of
saved through childbearing, you might say.
Yeah. yeah. Do you know what I'm getting at there though? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. The second thing I was gonna do, which this is Tank's, I'm giving him full credit for what I'm about to do, is here's a few things that I think we have to agree on, and I'll be satisfied. And they're it's not gonna be anything ridiculous. like everyone's gonna affirm everything I'm about to say. But you know, basically, when you come to a disagreement, Tank says, tell me if I'm misrepresenting you too, that it's good to throw out on the table what you want the other person to agree to for you to be satisfied.
Yep, pretty much it.
And we can all do that. But here's what it would be for me. Obviously, Adam's a federal head. We all agree with that. Adam and Eve are born, created, with a righteous nature. That sin is not definitional to humanity.
Correct.
Yeah. And I would maybe might go further and say, whatever's going on with Adam being passive and not leading his wife well, doesn't seem to be sin. Sin happens when the fruit is eaten, because that's the command that's being broken. Mm-hmm. That might be the part where we disagree also, which is fine.
Hmm. I don't know. Yeah, not necessarily. I think we would affirm all of the key points that you're raising. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there's nothing really controversial there.
Well, not for Orthodox Reformed Christians, but a lot of what we just said is super controversial. But yeah, I mean, we're in agreement, sure.
Yeah, you convinced me, Ben. Like, I would have not said the whole thing about that the last point about the passivity not being there, just because I've heard that sermon so many times, like you said.
Yeah,
but whenever you point it out like that, I'm like, yeah, I agree with that. So
neat. I like listening to you guys talk about theology. This is always fascinating. I just enjoy this so much.
You mean when Ben and I go back and forth on things for a long time?
Oh yeah, I learn things like crazy
and just argue until we're red in the face.
There are no red faces.
People playing along at home won't see this because it was in the chat, but I think we refer to this kind of thing as disagreements, which was a word Ben used, I'm sure, without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I literally hadn't even been thinking of it that way. And I know we were having points of difference, but I would say that I would call this a discussion. So Ben and I are brothers. We care about each other. We are on the same page on so many things. And it's when we sometimes get into these real nitty gritty things that we kind of go, oh, okay, you really like that. And you really like that. Oh, they're slightly different.
Yeah.
And there are people that would agree with Ben, probably plenty, probably most people. And there are people that would agree with me. And on most probably of these plenty. Issues, I don't know, maybe a few.
I just want to say that because you said it for me.
but on this issue, like this is, I have to be honest. And again, say this isn't something, you know, yes, I've read Genesis 1 through 3 and onwards plenty of times. And yes, I've read Romans 5 plenty of times.
Right.
But I haven't ever zoomed in necessarily on this, you know, the cause and effect of which one came first and does it matter which one came first? And if Eve came first in chronology, but does that really count as sin, or does Romans 5 denounce that? You know, it's just, I'll walk away from this conversation going, wow, I learned something really interesting about how Ben reads that. It may even be something that I read it that way from now on, because I think you had good points to back it up. But I also think if I was to keep thinking about it the way that I had been, I'm not sort of questioning the authority of Scripture and saying, you know, it doesn't mean what it says that it means or anything like that. I'm just, people understand certain phrases slightly differently. And so it's interesting to have the discussion about, to try and work out where, like Ben was saying, where do we come to a point of unity and say, you know, maybe there are differences in how we read certain bits of things, but on the core things, we're definitely in the same place. And that's what makes these discussions so good, because we can come back at the end and go, at the end of the day, you know, we've had a conversation, we've worked out where the differences lie, we've worked out that some of us may have to shift our views slightly to work out whether or not we're sitting exactly where Paul was sitting, and that's an important thing for us to do, but it's also important for us to remember that we're all learning, and we're all brothers in the faith and sisters in the faith, and yeah, it's just good. It's really encouraging. I like it.
Yeah, amen.
Next week, we'll talk about superlapsarianism.
You guys have any recos this week?
I have one. My reco is a little software app I found. I don't know if it's on Mac. Sorry, guys. anyway, it's called Screen to GIF, and it's really simple. All it does is you take a recording of your screen, however much you want to, and then you can save it as a GIF. And if there's another easy way to do it, I had never found it, but I needed that functionality, so I just Googled that, found this software, and it's worked great, because now I can post videos of what I'm doing on my screen and share it on Slack for my coworkers.
Oh, that's like the Giphy app that Ben recommended.
Giphy Capture.
Yeah, Giphy Capture.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's the Mac.
Yeah, but that wasn't. Oh, that was the. Okay, cool. Cool, cool. Yeah, I remember you saying that now because you had us all go wild. Yep. Well, anyway, so now there is a Windows equivalent for you guys.
Cool. My wife, Tanya, made her podcasting debut this week. I don't know if any of you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good work.
There has been, for those of you not in the U.S., there's been a giant debacle over Target allowing all genders into any bathroom they want. Well, all sexes into any bathroom they want, as long as they identify with that gender. And so we've had, you know, a problem with this, understandably. Not necessarily because... Not because it's a transgender issue, but because of just the safety And Tanya's been a victim of being recorded in a bathroom before. And so her perspective on this is quite refreshing. And I highly recommend you go listen to it. The link in the show notes goes to the exact timestamp she's on in After the Sermon, which is a Theology Mix brother podcast. Recommend you go listen to them too. So yeah, check that out.
I have listened to that interview, Derek.
Same. Yeah.
What'd you guys think?
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Listened to it on my way to work the other day. She did well.
I saw you tweeted it and I was like, oh, this is cool. I wonder what she's talking about, because I didn't know what the topic was.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was good. I'm always glad to listen to After the Sermon.
Yeah.
And if you would like to contact us, you can jump in our Slack channel. That is the best way to get a hold of us. A lot of people reach out on email, which is also great. And then Gmail decides to mark that stuff as spam, and we don't actually talk to you for a few weeks, which is not so great. So the most surefire, safe way to get a hold of us is to jump in the Slack. We're all on there pretty much all the time. Not quite, but a lot. And you can do that by going to slack.techreformation.com.
You can follow us on Twitter and our posts on Facebook. Just look us up on both of those services. Tweet our links out and get more people listening to the show that you think would enjoy us. We always appreciate that.
You can visit our website, which is techreformation.com, to search for past shows and topics.
And you can email us at ask@techreformation.com with any comments, feedback, questions, or whatever.
We are a part of the Theology Mix Network. There is actually an official website page up now for the network that has all the podcasts on it, all the latest shows. So check that out, and or check out the master feed on iTunes.
Don't forget to review us on iTunes and recommend us on Overcast. It really helps us out, and we appreciate it. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Does it throttle your data other weeks also?
Oh, yes. Every other week. Yep. Throttles them then, too.
But, just curious.
If you're on SoundCloud, you should seriously consider moving somewhere else.
Go to a different cloud.
Yeah.
Go to a solid
Throw your
cloud.
Devices up to the cloud.